At this time, I introduce to you and present to all Elder Karen Liverman as she comes forth with the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive her and the message. Very hearty, amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace. Oh my God, I am so blessed to be here. You know, what would I do without friends? I called Pastor Jackson, and did he not come? Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for Pastor Jackson. Can we give the Lord a hand for Pastor Jackson, who has been blessing us this morning? Pastor, I got a call from Sister Maneer, who usually plays for us last night. And she wants you all to continue to pray for her husband. She said her heart is with us. She would be here if she could, but she's unable to because of the challenges. So we're going to keep holding him up to prayer. But you know, God always got a ram in the bush. He asked me about coming to let you know what kind of person he is. He asked me. And I just thank God for him. Not only do we have him, we have a co-worker here of mine. And this woman has been a blessing to me and taught me a curriculum that I have been blessed to teach all over the country. And that's Sister Dorothy Pugh, who's here with us. And I could not possibly leave out, and I hate to start calling names, but Sister Deanna and her sisters are always faithful and come. And I see my ladies from the fellowship, Deanna and the women here. So I just appreciate the support. I really do. Can we go before the Lord in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for your many manifold blessings. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, that we have that divine privilege and that whatever is on our mind, we know we can bring it to you, that you're our friend. Hallelujah. When we have no friend, you're our mother. You're our father when we have no mother and father. And Father, we thank you that we can depend on you. We're asking, Lord, that you might give us hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we might behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God, that we might not only have our hearts comforted, but that we'll be a comfort to others. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, sit back. We're not going to be here all day. See, we ain't like some of these brothers here. You know, you can't tell it all in one time. But I guarantee that what you get, you'll be able to use it. And it'll be a blessing to you and others. If you'd be so kind to please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. And you might be saying, Sister Liverman, don't you know anything except Ephesians? Why is it that you always start with Ephesians? Well, I always like to start at the beginning. I started where we are in him. Where we are in him. And that's why I go to Ephesians. Reader, can you please read it? Deacon? We read Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5. Amen. Oh, I see the bishop here. Praise God, praise God. I'm encouraged. Oh, Lord, the Lord sent my help. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Amen, amen.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning verse 3, King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And verse 5.
Thank you.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Could you please do it in interlineal, please? We always like to balance it. And I know yours almost falls to that. God is good.
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the interlineal Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world, being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Amen. What it's saying is that we were saved in eternity before the foundation of the world. And being saved means being safe and secure. I'd also like to kind of preference, and I'll read it in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, and it says, "And ye were complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And there's another reference in Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, and it sort of ends, that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Everybody say, "I'm complete in Christ."
I am complete in Christ.
Now, when you are complete, that means you can't add nothing to it.
Right.
When you're complete, means you can't take nothing from it.
Right.
So we are complete in Christ. That means we're lacking nothing. That means he is withholding nothing. He's withholding nothing, no good thing from you. Now, does that mean some bad things might happen to you? No, we ain't talking about this. Some things are going to happen. But you have to realize that whatever happens is happening according to the divine will and purpose of God for your life. Not my life. I can't compare myself with Deacon. I can't compare myself with Pastor. Whatever's going on with me is for me. Whatever he's got for me, it's mine. And it's been mine from the beginning. When? In eternity before the foundation of the world. And when we talk about the spiritual blessings, that's what the true blessings are. They're spiritual. They're invisible. They're in the heavenlies. They're in Christ. The temporary things that we see, feel, and touch, the physicality part of life, is temporal. It's passing away. It don't really count. What counts is who we are eternally in Christ. That's where the real action is. It's in the invisible. Most of us believe that God wants to bless us, don't we? Yeah, we believe God wants to bless us. We believe he wants to bless us because God is our Heavenly Father, because God is good, because God is loving, and because God is kind. But I'm here to tell you that God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. Not going to, already has. It's a past completed fact. You are blessed because you are saved. Hallelujah. Not because you got a new car. The sinners got new cars, don't they? Don't people that don't know Christ, don't they have new cars? So you're not blessed because you got a new car or because you got a big fancy house. We look on the TV and you see the Hollywood housewives and Atlanta people and all the stuff that's going on, and are they all in big houses and big cars? Does that mean they're blessed? Absolutely not. Anything that you can see, touch, feel, smell, taste is not what is real. And what should you should prioritize? We put our priority on the eternal, on those that are in, those things that are in the heavenly. Salvation, justification, hallelujah, election. Yeah, those are the things that are the real things. Those things that are eternal in Christ, in God. And that's what we should be keeping our eyes on, those things. Because God is all of what we mentioned. He's kind, he's loving, you know, he's good. And he's even more than that. God certainly wants to bless us, his children. And keep in mind, everybody ain't his kids. Hello. I go to meetings, people say, "We all children of God." No, we're not. I'm a child of God because I was elected in eternity. And you're a child of God because you were elected in eternity to be a child of God. How do you know? Some people say, "Well, Sister Lemon, I don't know if I'm saved." Well, your spirit ought to bear witness with his spirit. The fact that you are drawn by him. Because we wouldn't come if we weren't drawn. The Bible says the word is foolishness. The word of salvation is foolishness to the non-believer. So now if you believe, you're called. He's causing you to believe. He's causing you him and what he did in eternity before the foundation of the world. You're going to be saved whether or not you want it or not. Because he picked you. He selected you. He elected you to be part of the body of Christ. And guys, it don't get no better than that. The gifts and callings we have in him don't get any better than that. And I respect our president. Hallelujah. I just cried when he was elected for the first time. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. Oh, yeah, I walked with Martin Luther King in 1963 down Woodward Avenue. Maybe some of you here did, too. Proud day for us. But you know the proudest day of my life? Was the day that I came into the knowledge of who I was in Christ Jesus. And it should be yours, too. Oh, yeah. That's the past, President Obama getting elected. That's the past, Martin Luther King. Matter of fact, past. It came and passed because he intended for it to come and pass. And where was the outline done for our entire life in Christ in eternity? Hallelujah. So, we believe God wants to bless us because we're his children. Perhaps God wants to bless you, but some of us think he doesn't bless us because we didn't ask for the right thing in prayer, because we didn't have enough faith, because we sinned, because we didn't confess. You know, we come up with all these woulda, shoulda, couldas, and all these things that we feel are impeding or preventing the will of God from being done in our life. But you know, the will of God is being done in your life, the good, the bad, and ugly, whether or not you do anything about it or not. God has blessed us because he decided to bless us in eternity. And the blessings are not physical. We have to lift up our hearts and minds. We sing a song around here, turn your eyes upon Jesus. We all need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We need to look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's a true song. I didn't particularly like it when Pastor first introduced it. I said, oh my God, this is kind of a sad song. Then I find myself singing and humming it in the shower. Yeah, when I get stressed out, guess what I do? I turn my eyes upon Jesus. See, I'm doing too much sightseeing. What is sightseeing? It's looking around. Peter went sightseeing. Yeah, Apostle Peter. Remember he was in the boat? And he said, Jesus bid me to come. And what did Jesus say? He said, come. And what did Peter do? Didn't he walk the water? Until he observed the wind and the waves. Until he started in that horizontal viewing. As long as he was vertically viewing into the face and eyes of Christ, he was a successful, wasn't he? Do you know you'll succeed when you keep your eyes on Jesus? Do you know he will cause you always to triumph when you keep your eyes on Jesus? And that's what we must do. Now, is that easy? No, it ain't. Because what we see, sometimes we think is what is real. But you know it ain't. What you see is temporary, and it is subject to change any moment. So you don't want to believe what you see. You know, me and my husband, closest person I have in this world, we could be viewing the same thing and see something different, can't we? That's why God don't want you sightseeing. Because what you see will deceive you. What you see is not real. It's not real. Do you know what is real? What's in the Word is real. Who you are in Christ is real. That's eternal in the heavens. Never changes. Never changes. You are who you've always been. And you are where you have always been. And that's in him in eternity. Hallelujah. So, we want to make sure we got a hold on that. That whatever manifests in your life is manifesting because it is according to God's divine will and purpose. No accidents. No coincidences. Yeah, wherever, even if it's a hard place, it's a hard place, but it's temporary for the divine will and purpose of God in your life. You can make it. Matter of fact, you already have made it. You've made it in him. You're complete in him. You're triumphant in him. And we got to hold on to that. We got to keep that close. We have to keep our vertical viewing, not the horizontal, which is subject to change. Matter of fact, what you see really is a lie. What you see is not for real. What's for real is what is eternal, and what's for real is who you are in him. You are what he said you are, not what you're seeing. Okay. So problems we take, sometimes our problem is we take the blessings and workings of God out of eternity and we focus them in time. And that's where we get into trouble. When we get out of our eternal viewing and get into this horizontal temporary viewing. Problems, the problem is we drop back into synergistic thinking. And what is synergism? Synergism is that idea that we partner with God. You've seen, sometimes people used to have, you see a lot of times, license plates say, God is my co-pilot. Oh my God. Wait, what God are they talking about? Are they talking about the God that Job had an encounter with? Who God asked him, were you there? When he questioned God about what was going on in his life, God said, were you there when I formed the mountains and the sky and the hills and the valleys? Were you there? Did I have to consult with you to get all this together? So now, if God was God all by himself, and he decreed, he spoke everything in one decree, now he need you. Now he need you in order for him to put his plan over. He got to consult with you. It ain't going your way because you missed something. You. That makes sense to you? Kind of ludicrous, isn't it? God is God all by himself. Alone. And if something is, it's because it's always. And whatever God said will be. You know, I had a sister tell me one time. She said, Sister Liverman, I'm so depressed. I said, you're depressed? Why are you depressed? She said, well, you know what? The Holy Ghost would move if people would just take their mouth off stuff. I said, oh, my God. You think God is dependent on doing his plan based on what you say? Do you know if God said it, it's going to be whether or not you say it and agree with it or not? Whatever God said in eternity, that's what's going to manifest. And only that. We are not tying up the Holy Ghost. We are not preventing God from doing his plan. Because it ain't about you. Get it right now, guys. It's not about you. It is all about him. We cannot effectuate the plan and will of God. And if we get that, we're way ahead of the game. The problem is, we look at the Bible and we start eating Bible soup. We go from dispensation to dispensation. We kind of mix it all up and we pick and choose what we want. You know, one time I went to a service and the pastor was talking about the saints and how they pick and choose out of the Bible. And just to give honor to the Bible, he didn't use a real Bible, but he used some people's Bible, the TV guide. Yeah, some folks' Bible is the TV guide. You know, y'all spend so much time in front of TV and all that stuff. So he took the TV guide and started ripping pages and saying, this is what I'm going to believe in, and ripping this out and saying, this is what I'm going to believe in. And he just started picking stuff from everywhere and saying, now this is going to be my Bible. And that's kind of what we don't do, literally. We literally do that. We want to go in the Old Testament, which was not written to us. Says very plainly who it was written to. If you go in the front of the book, it'll tell you who the mail is for. Yes. Old Testament says to the Jews, to the house of Israel, and don't fool yourself. We've never been Israel. Never. Matter of fact, we have better promises, and we have a better covenant than Israel. Why would you want to get the less and leave the best? Why? Your mail is the 14 epistles of Paul. And all those epistles, they tell you who it's written to in the beginning. To the church at Ephesus. To the church at Colossae. To the church at Corinth. To the church at Rome. That's the Gentile church. That's us. The body of Christ. That's our mail. And the contract we have is a better contract than Israel. Now, he hasn't forgotten Israel. He's going to turn back to them. But right now, it's our time. This is the grace time, the grace dispensation. You want to stay in the grace for your instruction. You want to stay in the grace dispensation for your knowledge and study. Because that's your mail. It's written to the church. The Old Testament is full of bilateral agreements. What do I mean by a bilateral agreement? It states that God will sometimes say, if you do this, then I will do this. If you repent, then I'll heal the land. It's bilateralism, because he had a bilateral agreement with Israel. But you don't find that in our document, in the 14 epistles. What you find there is a unilateral agreement. That means we don't participate. It is all about Jesus and what he did. Jesus paid it all. Jesus has done it all. You don't participate. It is all about God and not about you. Everybody say it's all about God. It's all about God. All about God. And that's, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. It's all about God. Hallelujah. Do you know that Christ is our life? Christ is our life. Colossians chapter 3 says, if ye be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth below, because we are dead. This flesh, this temporary horizontal life is dead, and our real life is our life that's hidden in Christ in God. I took my message this morning from the pastor's pen. I love the pastor's pen. And the one that I'm preaching from this morning is November the 18th, 2012, and it is entitled Comprehensive Exegesis of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, Godly Eternal Focusing. And really, that's what we're talking about. Pastor, I was going to read some of your stuff, but I think I read enough to get this. Okay. So, he's got good stuff. Got good stuff. But it's going to take me a long time to break it all down. So, I'm giving it to you on the web and in the audience so that you can go on the internet and you can pull it down. It's good stuff because that's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching from that, and I just wanted to acknowledge the pastor. Okay. So, but I ain't going to read it this morning. He already read y'all one. So, God is good. He's good. Our problem is we drop back again into that synergistic thinking. Our problem is we look at the Bible as a whole. We even try to read it as a whole. It's not a novel. Bible's not a novel. If you want to do some Bible reading, read your contract. Read the 14 epistles and learn those. You know, I run into people, sometimes they didn't know there was a Colossians. In the Bible. I'll give them something, they say, is that in the Bible? I say, yeah, it's in the Bible. But they've never opened up those books. All they want to talk about is Daniel in the lion's den. And that's a good story. Or how Moses parted the Red Sea. That's a good story. But that wasn't my story. My story starts with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where I'm in. I'm in the part about Jesus. Yeah, and what he did for me in eternity. Yeah, before the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain. See, that's my story. So now I'm not saying don't read the Bible stories. They're good. But let's not go there for direction. Let's not say because Daniel slept all night and the lions didn't get him. Don't you go in the den. Don't you go in that den. Yeah, see, God brought Daniel out. He might not bring you out. So let's leave the lion's den with Daniel and let's stay in our book. Let's stay in our doctrine, okay? You know, the truth of the matter is that we are complete in him. Christ is our life. God's people reside solely in Christ. We are solely in God. We are Christ. We're the body of Christ. And you know what our greatest challenge is? Is because we look in the mirror, like my pastor liked to say, and we try to reach in the mirror to straighten our tie or to pat our hair. If I'm trying to straighten my hair up, do I reach in the mirror to straighten it? Why not? The mirror's not real, listen. That image in the mirror is not real. But that's what we try to do. You want to stay out of the mirror, and you want to stay where the real is. And the real is where the invisible is. It's in the spirit realm. And that's where we want to reside. We want to keep our vertical viewing going. We want to continuously look up to Christ. That's where our safety and our salvation lies. We need to understand again that vertical viewing versus the horizontal viewing. Vertical viewing is seeing us as God sees us. That's vertical viewing. Vertical viewing is viewing our problems like God views the problems. That's vertical viewing. But we want to do horizontal viewing like Peter. You know, he started looking at the winds and the waves and got overcome and started thinking. We want to put all our time into the horizontal view. And horizontal viewing is temporary in time. It's just for manifestation. Vertical viewing is eternal in God. And that's what we need to stay. We need to train ourselves to be vertical viewers. We need to train ourselves to believe God's saying. We need to train ourselves not to go by our seeing. You got that? Vertical viewing acknowledges the sayings or single decree of God in eternity. And that's God's purpose. While horizontal viewing acknowledges the seeing, the processes which are temporary in time. It's actually a depiction, or it's the process which is not the real. What you see is not real. It's temporary. It's temporary. You know, sometimes some of us have had experiences of going to the doctor. And sometimes the report ain't good. Sometimes the report ain't good. But do we have to believe the doctor's report? No. Because we know that doctors, and I respect them, they practice medicine. Who is the true physician? Who's the true physician? How many of us have had incidences where people have had terrible diagnoses, but who had the last say-so? Didn't God have the last say-so? So what is according to his will and purpose? Now, that's not saying everybody's going to be healed, because everybody ain't. Practically, if we took a poll right now in this room, practically somebody here has either been to a funeral or going to a funeral coming up this week. We know people die. And if all this healing you hear about and see on the TV was real, they'd close all the hospitals. And that ain't happening, is it? Yeah, yeah. We pray, but we always preference with whatever is the Lord's will. Because guess what? That's what's going to be done anyway. Hallelujah. So we have to be mindful of the fact that we want to stay where God is, and that's with the vertical viewing. That horizontal viewing, it acknowledges, you know, the seeing or the process. It's not real. It's a temporary depiction. Our real life or existence is eternal in the heavenlies in Christ. It's spiritual in God. Now, what we want to do sometimes, too, is mix spirituality in with the physical. We want to interpret the physical and say that we can view spiritual from physical, and you can't. Now, spiritual can explain physical, but physical can never explain spiritual. That's the reason the scientists can't close their equations. Because at the bottom, at the end of all of it, we know what's there. Who was there in the beginning? God. And they don't want to name God. So they can't close their equations. Because they don't want to acknowledge God. You know, after they do all their calculations, the bottom line comes back to God. So they can't close them. But it's not so with us. We understand the spiritual. We understand, because why? Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we're the child of God. And so the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the one that is opening up these divine truths to us. He's the one that's leading and guiding us. He's the one that causes us to be triumphant. He's the one that allows us to turn the light off. Not stay up all night worrying and scratching and walking and pacing. We have to realize God got it. God got it. And he has the last say so. So vertical viewing, again, is all about God's divine will and purpose. And that is also concerning our daily lives. Am I saying that tribulations aren't going to come and problems aren't? Absolutely not. We all have a bucket load of them. But we know that at the end of the equation of all of our problems is God. At the end of your equation, at the end of your trouble, there's God. And so we always have hope in Christ. Vertical viewing is 100% spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, while horizontal viewing is 100% physical, temporary, and earthy, and it is passing away. So can you see the contrast? I'm trying to contrast the two, because sometimes we want to mix come up and say it's supernatural. There is no supernatural. If it's physical and natural, it's earthy. It's temporary. It's passing away. It's not dependable. You all got that? So there's no such thing as supernatural. It's all spiritual in Christ in the heavens. That's way above what you're going to have here on the lower horizontal level. You know how the Bible often reads, it came to pass. Well, it was, and it did come to pass because it is, and it always existed in heaven. And it existed to come to pass according to his divine will and purpose. Now, I know that might sound confusing. Nothing that occurs in time is about us. It's all about him. It's been designed and purposed and outlined in him in eternity for you. No accidents, no coincidences. Nothing is happening in your life that God is not always already aware of and already made a plan for escape. We are complete in him. This is why we are commanded to walk by faith and not by sight. Vertical viewing is faith viewing. Vertical viewing is walking by faith. Whenever we see that which is manifested in time, it's only for the divine will and purpose of God. Whatever's going on is according to the will of God. See, a lot of times we want to bring the devil in. Ooh. Yeah. We want to bring Satan in. Yeah, we do. Do you know that Satan is a created being? That he only works in the parameters of God? He's created. He's there for the process according to the divine will and purpose of God. That's why I say if Satan came to my house, and sometimes I think he have. If he came to my house, literally, I think I'd turn over and say, oh my God, it's just you. It's just you. Why? Because I know whatever he does, it's according to the divine will and purpose. And God has a beginning and an ending even for that. You all got that? So we don't want to be afraid of spirits and demons and all this other stuff. You know, we want to, because in the book, if you read the book, it says we win. We win. So whatever's coming in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So whatever it is, if it takes me out, it's taking me out the hallelujah way. Hallelujah. It's taking me out as a victor. It's taking me out because that's what God planned for me. I'm saying bring it on. Bring it on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went to a meeting yesterday. Dorothy was there. And I work in one of the counties, God bless me, with some of the curriculum that Dorothy taught me. And the lady said, one of the ladies came and she said, well, Miss, she called me Miss Liverman. Miss Liverman. They call me Miss because I done got old. You know you old when people start calling you Miss. Yeah, Mrs., you know. So they said, Miss Liverman, you didn't come to this meeting, and one of the we got three men in the group, and they just trying to take over the group. I said, oh my God. I said, ain't nobody taking over my group. I said, I believe I'd go in hell and grab Satan up if he came to take over my group. I said, I got it. And the other one said, you know, she got it. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. I know what delegated authority is, and you want to know too. Let me tell you about delegated authority. That's the authority you walk in when you come in a room and you take it over because you're Jesus in the room. You bring Jesus to the room. You bring light to the situation. Where light is, there can't be no darkness. Hallelujah. Roll up your sleeves and start walking and viewing vertically. Walking by sight, you can do it. Say, I can do it. Yeah, you can do it because God has already done it. He's done it for you. You are complete in him. The divine will and purpose of God is for his testimony. Your life is a testimony to him. Hallelujah. Hold your head up. Don't walk down defeated. You don't have to, because everything was done for you in eternity in Christ according to his divine will and purpose. Hallelujah. The processes of our daily living in time are driven solely by God's eternal plan for you. Solely for God's eternal plan for you. It's a blueprint that was made for you in eternity before the foundation of the world. Nothing can change it. Hallelujah. We cannot be moved by what we see, but by what God has said in eternity before the foundation of the world. We must realize that we are safe and secure in Christ, having been saved, hallelujah, and having been made perfect in him before the foundation of the world. You are complete in Christ. God bless you.